There was no possible way that sin could ever be forgiven apart from the shedding of blood. They couldn't do it through pigeons or doves or goats or turtle doves or lambs. It was only a picture and shadow of things to come. That's what John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Nearly 50 years ago, Raul almost ruined his life with selfishness and sin. Then one night, he bowed his knee in full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. For Raul's testimony of how everything changed when he received Christ as his Savior, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD. Today's lesson from Raul continues our series centered on Jesus' mission and identity. As we explore the sole purpose the Bible tells us that Christ had for his life, we'll come face to face with our Savior's undeniable power and unconditional love. Stay with us for assurance that Jesus is the divine Son of God who voluntarily left heaven to live and die for the sake of the world. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, The Reason for the Incarnation. We'll begin in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14.
It's pretty amazing when you have four Gospels that are given to us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all four of them are so different in their style in writing, especially when you read the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John concentrates, as John speaks, on the deity of Jesus Christ, his incarnation. And one of the things about John, it is said that John probably was a great theologian. Not Paul, but John was a great theologian, the way he wrote in the style of Greek. And the way he gave us the gospel, he gave us 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then of course the book of Revelation when he was in prison in Patmos. But as we look at this whole doctrine of Christ, and the reason we're doing this on Communion Sunday is that we're taking the doctrines of the Bible, and we are right now in the doctrine of Christology, of Christ. And one of the reasons is because so many people have so many different ideas about who Christ is. And one thing that Jesus did is that when he was on his way to Jerusalem, just about the end of his life, coming down to the nitty-gritty where he was going to go to Jerusalem and they were going to kill him, that in Caesarea Philippi, there in that beautiful place a couple of weeks ago, we stood there looking at this massive rock where the worship of the god Pan was worshipped. That Jesus came to that place where that little stream behind the actual mountain, on top of it, behind it is Mount Hermon. And Jesus asked a great question to his disciples, who do men say that I am? Now, when I talk to Christians, I'm always blown away by some of the answers that I get. One of the things that I can accept immediately is when I talk to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Muslim. And when you talk to someone that is an occult, immediately the first thing they will do is they will deny the deity of Jesus Christ and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It's like when you talk to the Mormons, they say, well, you need to read the Bible, but the first book you should really read is the Book of Mormon. That is the authority. When Angel Moroni came and gave the speech or the actual verses to the founder of the Mormon church, Joseph Smith. And so you really have to be careful. There might be some of you that are young in the Lord here. You just got saved. You're growing in the Lord. But there may be some of you that have been here a pretty long time in the Lord. Maybe 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And if you really do not know the doctrines of Christ, shame on you. Then you really don't know what you believe. You really need to know who Christ is. It's not just accepting him and receiving him, knowing his personality, knowing his character, knowing his holiness. And so John begins to expound on who Christ is. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, turn with me to chapter 1, he says this. In the beginning, he says, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So he's speaking about the Logos, or the Logos, the Word of God, that Christ has existed always. Now the thing about it is that God the Father, which are equal in power and in nature, is that God the Father saw the situation, the problem in the Old Testament to the New Testament, and he said, you know what, the only way and the best way to redeem men from their sin is not really through animals. It was a picture and shadow of things to come. Rams, goats, turtle doves, pigeons, all that stuff. But the real, real access to get to God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he had to come from all eternity, humble himself as a man, 100% God, 100% man. And he humbled himself to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Imagine that. God himself. So it's really of importance that we understand and we know. There are 14 reasons that I caught here concerning his incarnation. Why did he really come? In verse 14 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, let me read it in the New King James, what he says. He says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled or tented among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Imagine that. He tabernacled among us. He took upon himself a human body. When Mary had Jesus, she never had any sexual contact with Joseph. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit's power, which is a miracle. So it's really important for us to understand, because the cults are always denying what? The incarnation of Jesus Christ. They're always denying the virgin birth of Christ. They don't accept it. So here Jesus is going to be speaking to us. And imagine how he became not only man for us, and taking a body as a man, and then he tabernacled, or he walked among us. You could touch him. You could feel him. He was a man. 100% man, 100% God. But never, ever, ever losing his power as God 100% and never sinning ever in his life. That's why in John's Gospel chapter 3:16, one of the greatest verses that any little child memorizes, the first scripture he or she memorizes in Sunday school, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Believing upon Jesus Christ. 100% human, 100% God. Now the first reason that we see here for the incarnation of Jesus Christ is, number one, he came to reveal the invisible God. The God that we could not see. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word truth there is reality. He is real. He's not a phony baloney. He's real. A real God. That's why in John 1:18, John says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's announced him. He's prepared the way for him. Then in John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, Philip, that yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I am the Father, and I am the Son. were equal in power. And the Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5 says that. And Ananias and Sapphira were being questioned by Peter. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is God. You see? So it's really important that we understand the reasons. Reason number two is because he came to fulfill what? Prophecy. The future. In the Old Testament, they kept prophesying, kept prophesying. As a matter of fact, 300 prophecies out of 500, Jesus Christ fulfilled in his first coming. 200 more will be fulfilled at his second coming. Just like the Bible said it would happen. That's why in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy we have of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth of Christ, it says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Imagine that. The first prophetic utterance given in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis 3:15. Thirdly, he came to guarantee what? He came to guarantee David's covenant. David in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel had prophesied that he was not the Messiah, but there was one that was coming in the future. And that he would become what? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says in 2 Samuel 7:11, "Since that time, I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house, and when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Speaking of who? Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, coming in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. In the Old Testament, verified by 1 and 2 Samuel. Imagine that. And yet so many people do not believe the word of God. And then how about the fourth reason? He came to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. There was no possible way that sin could ever be forgiven apart from the shedding of blood. They couldn't do it through pigeons or doves or goats or turtle doves or lambs. It was only a picture and shadow of things to come. That's what John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said what? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Jesus. He's the only one. And so when you read the scriptures, like in Hebrews 2:9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that Jesus, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." And yet not everyone comes to know his love and grace and mercies. Only those that truly repent and by faith come to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the cults are always saying, okay, it's by faith, and then they put a little plus all these little things you got to do. No. Faith, period. That's it. Nothing else. It's so sad that so many people are in so much bondage because they can't receive the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:10, it says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." And then verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God the Father." You see? Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And then in 1 John 3:5, he says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in Jesus Christ there is no sin at all." He took upon himself our sins, but he was never in sin. Interesting. Perfection. God himself. Reason number five, he came to reconcile men unto God himself. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:19? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then reason number six is he came to provide an example for everyone that believes by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For this you were called, because Christ also has suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Just because you become a Christian, don't say, "I'm never going to suffer." You will suffer. One of the things about doing the Psalms this Wednesday night, Psalm 73, as we finish the second part of the book of Psalms, now we're stepping into the third part. Asaph writes the first 10 Psalms. And in Psalm 73, he gets so messed up that he almost loses his faith when he sees the wicked prosper. And he says, "Man, I serve God, I love God, I go to church, I give my money to the Lord, and yet God, why am I not prospering, and yet the wicked prosper, and they sin against you, and they hate you?" And God shows him in the Psalm why. Where he finally wakes up and says, "Man, I almost slipped, but thank God he showed me. The end of the wicked is not good." So it's really important to know what God's word says. In 1 John 2:6, he says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Just as he walked. We need to be like him, imitate him. We're imitators of Jesus Christ. And then reason number seven is because he came to provide believers with what? A high priest. Not Mary, not any man. Jesus Christ became our high priest. Notice. Again, remember Hebrews 2:17. "Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Interesting. For the sins of the people, he had to become propitiation for our sins. And then reason number eight is because he came to destroy the works of the devil. Satan's a fallen angel. On his way to the lake of fire. Right now he's loose with all his demons, trying to deceive the world. That is why here in Hebrews 2:14 he said, "Inasmuch then as the children have partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he might destroy him," Satan, "who hath the power of death," that is the devil. When the devil came to him in the wilderness and tempted him in Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4, and said, "Hey, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you bow down and worship me." And he says, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. It is written. He said, "If you can turn these stones, you're hungry, you can turn those stones into bread." And again, he rebuked him. "Since you are God, you can do it." But he didn't bow to Satan. Satan will bow to him. You see? Very important. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil had sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that Jesus Christ might destroy the works of the devil." I love that. Reason number nine, he came to escape the historical curse that was given to us. Remember in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world," who is that? First Adam. "And death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." So what did God do? God sent second Adam, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world so that we could be made righteous through him. Amazing how simple it is, and yet so hard for so many people to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and his doctrines. Reason number 10, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted today? He came to heal your heart. That's why when he was speaking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, number two, to heal the brokenhearted. And number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives And 4, and the recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Wow. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah. He's the only one that can set you free. He's the one that came to set at liberty the wounded. Fully, completely, that's number 11 in the same scripture. Again, Luke 4:18. And then check this out. Number 12 is he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord to us. In Luke 4:16, he said, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as he was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up and he read from where? From the prophet Isaiah. He read half of the prophecy and the other half, he closed the book up and he said, this will be fulfilled at the second coming. Imagine that. And they were blown away. They couldn't believe it. That here in their presence was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The one that had come to give life, and they rejected. And then reason number 13, he came to give abundant life. Notice what I said, abundant life. That is in the present, to donate, to grant, to deliver freely or to entrust to us eternal life, abundant life. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Well, it's almost hard to fathom the magnitude of Christ's voluntary decision to leave the glory of heaven for the sake of a world full of sinful people like us. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the message titled, The Reason for the Incarnation. Now, to further enrich your day-to-day walk of faith with Jesus, we'd like to offer you a resource titled, Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. It's a 4-CD audio series from Raul that provides a detailed study of what the Bible reveals about Christ's miraculous virgin birth, His absolute deity, and His sinless humanity. You'll be inspired to see how clear it is in Scripture that there is truly no one else like Jesus, and He's the only one qualified to take away the world's sin. Get in touch with us to order Raul's 4-message series titled Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of $19 or more. If you choose to order by writing us, the mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Before Raul returns, we'd like to tell you about a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity coming up this spring. Raul and Sharon are hosting an 11-day tour of the Holy Land, and they'd love to have you join them. Together, you'll experience Christ's love in a powerful way as you sail the Sea of Galilee, summit the Mount of Beatitudes, and take communion near Jesus' empty garden tomb. You won't want to miss this trip. The dates are April 25th through May 5th. To find out more, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the 2020 Israel Tour link. Well, Somebody Loves You Radio couldn't be here without your continued prayers and financial support. We take the stewardship of your contributions very seriously, and we make the most of them to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Thanks for your partnership. Tomorrow on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from this series. Exploring the Bible's soul glimpse of Christ as a child, you'll be inspired to follow His parents' example as you raise your kids to know and love the Lord. Here's Raul now with a final comment.
And finally, reason number 14. He came to glorify who? The Father that sent Him into the world. Can you imagine if you had a son and you had to send him to die for the world? It would be hard. But yet he says in John 13:31, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. And then in John 14:13, he said, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then John 17:4 says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus giving God the Father all the glory and all the honor. They're equal in power with the Holy Spirit. Same authority. And that's why it's really important for each one of us individually to understand, to know. Who do you believe? You go into the streets, you go to the highways and byways, you go to work, you go to school. Somebody comes up to you and says, okay, what does it mean here in John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Can you explain? Or if you get a Jehovah Witness, they say, and in the beginning was the Word of God, and He became a God. They add the word A prefix. You have to know. How do you know? By studying God's Word. I am falling
in love with you. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.